If you fail, it'll be good for you. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Jeremiah as we continue with our expanding sentence in our Old Testament survey about the prophet Jeremiah. The sentence expands thusly: Jeremiah, messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1:11-16. And then we expanded the sentence to say Jeremiah, God's messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1:4. And then yesterday we talked about Jeremiah, God's weak messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1:6, and then Jeremiah 12:5. And then we did an ancillary study of 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God says, and he said to the apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was trying to get his body or whatever it was fixed so he could be a strong messenger of God, God said to him, my power is made perfect in weakness. We don't believe that. We really don't believe that. And so God has to teach us. And when he does, we don't like it. And then his power is seen in an earthen vessel. Now let's expand this sentence one more time. Jeremiah, God's weak, unsuccessful messenger of judgment. Jeremiah 12:1-4. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I complain to thee, yet I would plead my case before thee. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? Why plantest them and they take root? They grow and bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their heart, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou seest me and triest my mind toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the wickedness of those who dwell in it? The beast and the birds are swept away because men said, he will not see our latter end. What was Jeremiah doing? Well, he was tired of doing this. I mean, everything he tried to get the people of God to see, they didn't see. Everything he tried to get them to do, they didn't do. And so Jeremiah was God's weeping prophet, but he was also God's failing prophet. I mean, this is not a successful man. I went to one of those Christian conventions not too long ago. And they had booths in this conference hall, how to double your Sunday school, how to win millions to Christ, etc., etc. Over 125 displays. Frankly, all I felt was guilty when it was over because I didn't know how to do all that stuff. And then one of the speakers gave me freedom. He said, I used to be proud of the way my church was growing. Then I went down to the cemetery, found out that was growing too. You know the most dangerous thing that can happen to you if you're a Christian? To succeed. You know why? Because the worst thing that can happen to you as a Christian is to be self-righteous. And there are a lot of self-righteous people in the world. Better you fail. I welcomed the freshman class a couple of years ago at the seminary, Reformed Theological Seminary, where I teach. And I said, your parents back home are praying that you be a success. Your professors, most of them here, are going to be praying and helping you to be success and to have very good grades. The church back home that sent you to this place are praying that you be a success, that you be a stellar student, that you make straight A's, that everything be fine for you so you might be a mighty instrument in the hands of God. Do you care what I'm praying for you? Well, even if you don't, I'm going to tell you. I'm praying you fail. I'm praying that you're weak. I'm praying that things just blow apart for you so that you might know the power of God and dance and laugh in his presence and be free, knowing that his power is the only success that you need. Let me tell you something. God didn't call anybody to be successful. He called us to be faithful. And sometimes, by the world's standards, when you're faithful, you're not very successful. Now, those things are not mutually exclusive. Some people are faithful to God and they're successful, but some people are faithful to God and they're not successful. The point is that you stay close to Him. You do what He tells you to do. Let Him worry about who wins the game. Because ultimately, in the end, He wins the game. And Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. You know why he was weeping? Because he couldn't get anybody to do anything he told them to do. I sometimes tell my students, listen, some of you guys are going to serve big churches and write books, and you're going to be known. Some of you guys are going to be serving over in a little place. Nobody's going to know your name, and you're going to wonder if you made the right choice. And it may not be the most gifted ones, the ones who love God the most, who write the books and have the big churches. It may be the other guys. I sometimes wonder why God picks certain people to lift them up and honor them, but we don't get a vote. And it's not important whether you have a big church or a small church, whether you write books or can't even get a sentence together. What matters is that you be faithful to the place where God calls you. And so I think that Jeremiah is included in the scripture just to tell us that not everybody we read about is successful. Sometimes there's major, awesome failure in our lives. A number of years ago, I was invited to speak to a major convention of some of the wealthiest, most powerful people in America. They had checked me out. I'd taught a seminar at this conference before, and they thought I was wonderful, and I did too. I thought, I'm so glad they finally recognized my greatness and my prowess as a Bible teacher and will want to hear from my font of wisdom. And so I climbed into the speaker's podium and promptly made a fool of myself. It was awful. I mean, if you've ever been a public speaker, you know what I mean. It doesn't get any further than the front row, and people are looking at their watches, and then they're shaking their watches, and they're looking out the window, and you might as well just go home, because you can't get it out of the fire when it's gone to that point. And I did that in front of a lot of people. I remember getting into the elevator, going up to my hotel room, and there were some people at the conference, and nobody knew what to say. They didn't know what to say to me, because we knew, all of us, that it had been not a stellar performance. It was an awful time. So I rode up the elevator, and everybody was quiet. I got in my room, and I said, Lord, I know that was from You, and it was because of me, but I would have preferred if You had done it in a smaller place with some people who love me instead of these rich and powerful people. And he said, problem is, Steve, if I don't do it there, you start getting self-righteous and thinking it's you, and you get into serious trouble. You know what I did? They gave me a coaster from that conference, you know, one of those things you put your coffee on. It's in my study at home, and I make coffee because I'm an early riser. And every morning when I'm in my study at home, I look at that coaster, and I remember what a fool I made of myself. And I think, it was good for me. But to be honest with you, I can hardly wait to get my coffee on top of that coaster so I don't have to look at it anymore. Have you ever failed? Listen, that's better than succeeding and being self-righteous about it. Have you ever really made a fool of yourself in front? You know what a real friend is? That's somebody who, when you make a fool of yourself, doesn't think that it's a permanent job. Have you ever made a fool of yourself? Have you ever failed and really not done well in something you should have done well in? Listen, that's a gift from God. It really is. You know why? Because grace always runs downhill. If you're on top of the hill, grace never runs uphill. It always runs downhill. And Jeremiah understood that. Jeremiah was God's weak, unsuccessful messenger of judgment. Now, I don't have much time to go into this one, so I'll just bring it up, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. But as we expand, it's a microphone. The sentence, Jeremiah, God's weak, unsuccessful, persecuted messenger of judgment. Jeremiah 1:17-19, but you gird up your loins, arise, and say to them everything that I command you. Be not dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes, its priests, and its people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah, the entire nation rejected his message. His relatives disowned him. A priest has him beaten and locked up in stocks. The people, the priests, and the prophets want him executed as a traitor. The king burns his books. The officials put him in jail. His enemies drop him in a muddy cistern. And yet, he keeps on trucking. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they hated me, they will hate you too. Or let me give you something from Peter. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, not everybody's going to like you. So deal with it. They're not supposed to like you. Because if what you believe is true, they're in serious trouble. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen. Did your mother ever say, and this is the last time I'm saying this? Well, this is the last time I'm saying this. This is the last time I'm going to offer the Winter Magazine. A couple of articles I wrote, Our God Reigns, when your rope breaks and tragedy follows, and you feel everything's out of control, what do you do? And then Crosses and Crowns. My itinerary's there. Question and answer column. And a lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. If you would like the magazine, give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150. Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for the Winter Magazine. It's absolutely free. And look, I mean that, but if you could help us financially, this is a very expensive ministry, and I would sleep better. So pray about it, and if God calls you to do it, be as generous as you can. You can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Include a contribution in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Praying Properly, How to Tap Into the Power of Prayer. And I'll do that as my thank you. Hey, I got to go. Be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And, oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.